much to Kev and the team for leading us so well. Folk, we always know that on any given Sunday, including this one, there are people that come into the building with all different needs. And so I'd hate for you to go home having had no one to pray for you. So whether you're sick or whether you're going through a relational crisis, a financial difficulty, don't forget after every single service, there's a preacher back for you. Just go back to the entrance and take a right, and you'll find people there waiting to pray for you, encourage you, and stand with you. So always take advantage of the opportunity. For those moms and dads with little babies, don't forget there's a brand new cry room for you. Also at the back, you take a right, you'll find a live video feed, a live audio feed, and some lovely toys there for the kids as well. So don't forget, that's a wonderful facility for you to enjoy with your little ones. All right, I'm not going to be preaching for long this morning. Thank you, Russell, for that encouragement. Because we've got the Faith at Home presentation after the message, that to look forward to. But let's turn in our Bibles, if you have them with you, to John chapter. We're continuing with our New Life in Jesus series. We're into part 10 this week, and we pick it up this week in John chapter 6 and verse 24. Just to recap while you're turning there, remember last week we looked at Jesus feeding the 5,000, and that was a great miracle. Then after that, the disciples get into a boat, and they are busy going to the Sea of Tiberias when all of a sudden an unexpected storm arrives. And I think all of us have been around for long enough know that unexpected storms form part of the journey of sometimes life can be smooth sailing, things are going your way, the sun is shining, so to speak, and literally out of the blue, something comes across your path that can rock your life and rock your faith. That was their experience. In the middle of the lake, the storm arrives. Guess what happened? Jesus begins to walk them on the water. He's walking on the very thing they're afraid of. And he comes and he says, Shalom. Somebody needs that word this morning. Peace. There's a word for somebody right there. The storms of life are real. The winds are blowing. The waves are beating against your life, against your boat. Jesus speaks above the waves. And into your context this morning, he says, Shalom. Be still. And so we pick up the story this morning. Jesus and the disciples have arrived at a place called Capernaum, and the crowd have followed him. And so we pick up 24 of John chapter 6. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Here's our key verse for this morning. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works that God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life. Now they're interested. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and who believes in me will never be thirsty. What incredible verses to unpack together this morning. Well, a couple of quick points before I get to the points in verse 27 and 28. Firstly, we see that these people were more interested in physical food than they were in spiritual food. Verse 26, Jesus answered, tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. In other words, the crowds were following Jesus for the benefit provided them. They really enjoyed yesterday's lunch. Jesus, those loaves, man, they were tasty. Not to mention the water into wine a few days ago. I got my cousin's wedding coming up in September. Some great Merlot would be good for them. And so the benefits were the attraction, and they weren't following Jesus Christ. He really was. And Jesus sees straight through the hypocrisy. They're more interested in Jesus filling their bellies, feeding their souls. And friends, we need to be very careful we don't fall into the same trap. You see, many of us are very good at preparing ourselves physically for the day. We wake up, we make ourselves a delicious coffee or tea, we have some breakfast. This morning, my wife made me the sumptuous omelette you've ever tasted. It was amazing. Breakfast, we then clean our teeth, we brush whatever hair we got left. Seems to be this side they're congregated. This side's doing well, that side's struggling. Nev, you in the middle of it all. We get dressed, and off we go to work, and we say, I'm for the day. But the question is, you've prepared yourself physically for the challenges of the day, but the question is, have you prepared spiritually? What have you done to feed your soul for the challenges of the day? You never want to be in a position where you succeed publicly, but you fail privately. You need a position where your output exceeds your input. You want to allow us to fill your soul, to feed your soul, so that you can be prepared for the challenges of the day. So my first quick bullet point this morning is, are you like the crowd? You're more in it for the benefits. You want Jesus to ease and to feed whatever that represents in your life? Or are you taking time to allow Jesus to feed your soul? Sitting at his feet, connecting with him, praying with him, reading his word, allowing him to feed you and to fill you with everything that's in store for your life. Number two, we see the people in this text are what we could call fickle fans. Man, Jesus, as long as the miracles and the benefits are flowing, we are in. But by the end of the chapter, of this very chapter, once the teaching gets a bit more challenging, once there's a deeper level of commitment required, those self-same people say, Jesus, we are. We were in for the miracles. We were in for the benefits, but we don't want to count the cost. And many of them, the Bible says, from that point on, no longer follow Jesus because they were fans. They wanted the benefits, but not the cost. Now, we can relate to this on many levels, but especially a sporting level. How can you identify a Stormers fan? I was going to say Blue Bulls, but they've got certain things hanging in their cars that we don't want to talk about today. And they've got blue horns and all these things happening. It would make our American friends very scared. But a Stormers supporter is easier to identify because they wear blue and they're more dignified and You know, Stormers, the Cape Townians. They're at a sort of different level to the rest of us. But I tell you what, the moment this team starts losing like they did this weekend, man, those same guys are now wearing black and white. They're fickle fans. When we're winning, we're blue and white. We're losing, oh, we're black and white. Goodness. So we understand what Jesus is getting at here. So let's beware that says, Jesus, as long as you are working for me, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, things are going my way, I'm in. But the things get challenging, there's cost involved, there's commitment involved, there's sacrifice involved. Oh no, we didn't sign up for that. We are out. Fickle fans, be careful of that. Number three, we see in this text that Jesus doesn't need to prove himself to anybody. If you're saying this morning, God, prove yourself to me. No. Jesus doesn't need to prove himself to anyone. Look what they say in verse 30. Therefore they said to Jesus, what sign will you do that we may see it and believe you? In other words, prove yourself, Jesus. Now, if you've been following this series for the last months, you'll be astounded by that statement. First five chapters of John, what have we seen? We've seen Jesus turn the water into wine. We've seen Jesus complete a man who was crippled for 38 years. We've seen Jesus multiply fish to feed a multitude of up to 10,000 people. We've seen Jesus walk on water, calm a storm, and yet these selfs will say, Jesus, do something else, please. Prove yourself. It's absolutely ridiculous. And so if you find yourself in that boat this morning, my friend, I want to just encourage you by saying this one thing. Stop asking Jesus for more and start considering all he has done for you. In 2 weeks' time, in this very building, if you're with us on that Easter Sunday, Good Friday, we will remember the fact that Jesus Christ, who was God, went to the cross and he suffered and died for you. He carried your shame and your failure and your addiction. All that's wrong about your life and all that's broken in your life, Jesus Christ absorbed that failure, that filth, that addiction into his body. Jesus Christ was the one who bellowed out those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he bore the wrath of God at your account, and you're still saying, Jesus, prove yourself. My friends, you need to smell the coffee. Wake up. Stop asking us to prove himself and remember what he has already done for you. The Lord gave his life for you. He died in your place and he died for your sin. Humble yourself this morning and commit yourself to him and worshiping him as Lord, God, and King. That being said, let's tackle now the heart of the message. The heart of the message is found in verse 27 and verse 28. Verse 27, Jesus says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Now, in the Greek language, there are two words for life. In the English language, we just have one, which we use in different ways. In Greek, they have two distinct words for life. The first one is bios, and the second one is zoe. Now, bios refers to existence. Physical life. So today, this morning, you are living, you are alive, you are breathing. But the second Greek word is a word that the Bible uses over and over and over again, and it's the word Jesus uses in this context, and that is the word zoe. Some of you have got that. Your parents gave you the name for a specific reason, because zoe refers to quality of life, not just existence. Not just being a breathe, but a quality of life. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we as a family were to go to Turkey, and Eastern Turkey in particular. It's the first time in 8 years I've had my family there with me. It was marvelous. But on the way back, Istanbul to Dubai, from Dubai to Johannesburg, it's 15 hours of flying. Long trip. Now, on this particular trip home, the plane was basically empty. And so all of us, Timothy, Gemma, myself, and Paula, could have a whole row of four seats all to ourselves. Now, can you imagine that? There's Gemma, my little girl who's 12 years old, little princess. She's now got four seats all to herself. So I see her. She's got her cool, got her food, got her earphones on. She's watching a movie. The air hostesses are looking after her. Like some more food, Gemma. We like some more drink. And I go to Gemma. I say, Gemma, how are you enjoying the trip? She leans back and she says, Dad, this is the life, eh? This is the life. Now, which of those two words do you think Gemma was referring to? Bios or Zoe? Of course, Gemma wasn't saying, Dad, I'm existing. Gemma was saying, this is the life. Oh, no, sorry. That's a bit of a different, Lenny Reed, something different to that. This is the life. This is the life. It was the quality of life she was referring to. This is the word Jesus uses. He says, I've come to give you life, and life to the full, not just to exist for 70 or 80 years and then to die. Zoe quality of life, a deep satisfaction and a peace and a rest that is found regardless of circumstances. I've had the privilege of walking with many of you on your road of cancer, chemotherapy. I've been with those who have died, who've lost the battle. And without exception, in every context, I see men and women who are circumstantially battling. But even in that place of suffering and death, there's a quality of life. It's supernatural. There's a sense of peace. There's a sense of rest. There's a sense of hope beyond this life. And the life that Jesus offers you, not just happy-go-lucky on this level of things, but a deep inner satisfaction that only comes from Him, the Prince of Peace. He comes to give you Zoe quality of life. Now, Jesus is also making the point in verse 20 that every person has different options available as to where they can find and experience this Zoe quality of life. That's why He says, don't labor for the food that spoils. In other words, Jesus realizes there are foods. There's food that would be tempting to eat, but actually that food's never going to satisfy you. That's what Jesus is saying. And you've eaten from that food. Some of you are eating from that food, exactly what Jesus is talking about. Some of you have tried relationships. Some of you have tried success in the business world. Some of you have tried money and possessions and power and lust and porn and all that goes with that. And not all of those things are bad things. Some of them are very good things, but they're not the best thing. And so those things, false Zoes in a sense, they were false saviors. They promised to satisfy you. They promised to fulfill you, but they never did. And that's because that space in your life wasn't designed for people or power or possessions or anything else. It was designed for Jesus. And only Jesus Christ can satisfy the deepest longings of your soul, because only Jesus offers you Zoe, real, quality, deep life. So, the question this morning is, if that kind of quality of life is available, where do you find it? That was their question. We want to give it to us. Well, verse 27, the second half, which the Son of Man, that refers to Jesus, will give you. There's a clue. Where's it coming from? It's coming from a person. What? Who's the person? Jesus. It's coming from Him. Verse 35, He explains it even. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will never go hungry. And who believes in Me will never be thirsty. Can you see it? Can you see it? You don't buy this bread. You don't find this bread at the super spa. The bread has a name. The bread's name is Jesus Christ. You feast on Him. It's as you enjoy Him. It's as you look to Him. It's as you follow Him. It's as you worship Him that you find the bread that satisfies you. Some of you today need to realign your lives. You've been looking in the wrong place, filling your bellies with the wrong food. Today you eat, you feast on Jesus, who is the bread of life. Isaiah 5, let me just say this. Whoever told you once upon a time that doing life God's way was boring or burdensome, that person was clearly mistaken. How do I know? Read these verses. How's the invitation for somebody this morning? Come, all thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without... Listen to this. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to Me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of... There's a verse for somebody today. Well, let's wrap it up. 28. Now the people are interested and they ask Jesus a very important question in verse 28. And they say this, what must we do? Listen carefully to what they ask Him. What must we do to do the works of God? Now that is a very important question, because the fundamental question that every religion tries to answer is, how do we bridge the gap that exists between sinful and a holy God? That's the fundamental question that every religion tries to answer. We are sinful, God is holy. How do we bridge that gap? For most people and for most religions, they've solved that issue by saying, you must do something to work your way to God, hence the question. Now the question makes sense. What must we do to do the works of God? So, for example, I've got two friends. Some of you who came on my Turkey trip now would have met them. Wonderful, wonderful Muslim friends in Eastern Turkey. One's Abdullah and one's Ali. Better never going to meet. They are wonderful guys. But they live according to a different system. So one day we couldn't find Abdullah anywhere. He was missing and we wanted him. And eventually I found Abdullah hiding behind the castle wall drinking a beer. Lenny, you'd love this story. Now, if you know anything about Eastern Turkey and about Islam, drinking alcohol is strictly forbidden. And he's a fantastic, he's a good Muslim, he's a good man. But beer. So I creep up behind him, I say, Abdullah, I bust you. He jumped out of his skin. And eventually, once he calmed down, he said, Mark, relax. Relax. He said, I'm in spirit. He said, I'm game. I've done too much good. I've earned the right to enjoy a castle. Well, then I'm looking at my other mate. Good, wonderful guy. I find Ali, he is absolutely ravenous. He's starving. And I say, Ali, why can't I buy you, a chicken wrap or a lovely lamb kebab or buy you something to eat? You're obviously very, very hungry. He says, oh, no, Mark, I'm fasting today. But I said, no, but Ramadan's come and gone. There's no need to fast today. He says, oh, no, I'm in spiritual debt. He says, I've done too much bad. I'm trying to get back to break even. So you've got Abdullah, he's having the castle credit. You've got Ali who's fasting, he's in debt. Can you see what's happening? What must we do? What must we do to do the work that God requires? True or false? Yes or no answer? Let me get the straight. As Christians, now listen carefully, as Christians, are we saved by works? Yes or no? Aish. Who says yes? Who says no? Oh, you guys are chicken, man. Let me tell you, the answer is both. So you're both right in a sense. We are saved by works. We are saved by the works of Jesus Christ lived the life you could never live. Perfect, spotless, blameless. Jesus Christ fulfilled every legal requirement of the law on your behalf. Jesus then died in your place and for your sin. He substituted himself, the innocent for the guilty. On the third day, God raised him to life. He said, "It is finished. There is nothing left to do except to place your hope and faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus." That's the good news. That's the gospel. But when you get to heaven and you stand before God to give an account of your life, don't ever think about pulling out your CV. God, let me who I am. No. On that, all you say to God the Father is, I am with Him. I'm with Jesus. I'm clothed, not in the filthy rags of my own righteousness. God, I've got nothing to give you except to say, I'm clothed in the perfection, in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm with Him. I'm with Him. So yes, salvation is free to us. But never forget, it cost Jesus Christ everything. He did the work on our behalf. I want to wrap it up there. I could go for longer, but I'll do more tonight if I can. Let me just give you a few final thoughts before we go and call the parents and the children in. Okay, thought number one. How are you doing when it comes to feeding your soul? Many of us are very good at the external, feeding our physical body. How's your spiritual diet looking? How are you doing when it comes to feeding your soul? Point number two, are you a fickle fan? You following Jesus for the benefits? Has Jesus Christ become your ultimate treasure? Can you, like Paul, say, man, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain? Jesus Christ is my everything. In every season of life. Number three, Are you still waiting for Jesus to prove himself to you? Do something for me, Jesus. Well, maybe today is the day you remember what Jesus Christ has already done for you. He died in your place and died for your sin. And then number four, are you experiencing the Zoe life that Jesus offers? Full of peace, full of purpose, full of deep satisfaction. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you may be facing a whole lot of challenges, but you face those challenges from a place of peace and perspective. Why? Because you're feeding on the bread of life. Let's pray together. Maybe I can ask Kevin just to slip through to the hall and get Liesl and the kids ready to come and join us. Friends, why don't you just take a moment? I think we've all been challenged in different areas, in different ways this morning. I've been deeply challenged as I've prepared this word. Maybe someone says, I've been feeding on the wrong bread. I've wasted years trying this and trying that and trying the next. And for a moment, those things did do the trick. They did satisfy me. But they couldn't sustain it. And today, Jesus offers you the bread of life. Come and eat, come and drink from me. Come and love me, come and follow me. Worship me, come and surrender to me. Come and lay your life before me. Let me fill you with Zoe. Let me fill you with a deep quality of life that endures in every season. Thank you, Father. Pray for a realignment of priorities, a realignment of lives this morning, Lord. Father, for those who've come into the building saying, God, you need to prove yourself to me. Show me something to make me believe. Lord, may they cast their minds back 2,000 years ago, where the Son of the living God died in their place and for their sin. Broken, bruised, betrayed, murdered. You have nothing left to prove, Lord Jesus. We are the ones who need to humble ourselves before you and give ourselves to you. And so, Father, won't you take your church here in Ganubi? Won't you raise up men and women who will follow you with their eyes fixed on Jesus through every season of life? Not fickle fans, but committed, sacrificial, long-term, lifetime followers of the living God. Thank you, Father. Do it for us, we pray. In your great name. Amen. Amen. All righty, guys, let's the children and the moms and dads in.